Thank you very much. As you said, I'm Ben Thrash. I'm a first-year PhD student at Mississippi State working under Angus Catchott and Jeff Gore. The cotton aphid is also known as the melon aphid, and it can come in multiple forms. It can be winged or wingless, and it ranges in color from a black, dark green to almost a white color. And this can be determined by numerous factors, including population density, light, and temperature. It can multiply pretty rapidly. It can 45 days per generation under optimal conditions, and it also has a wide host range. It's highly prolific. Colonizes over 60 plant species. The injury it causes is by feeding underneath the leaf surface. On stems, petioles, it can remove photosynthates from the cotton plant by doing this. The injury it causes can cause leaf incision, fewer fruiting positions, reduced fruit retention, and smaller bowls, which all in turn causes a reduced yield. The honeydew that the aphid puts off can also promote fungus growth on lint, which reduces your lint quality. Another problem that the cotton aphid does is it tends to be in a clump distribution within fields, which can cause unevenness across your field, which can affect your crop maturity in these spots, which in turn can result in you having problems with defoliation, etc. So the economic impact of the cotton aphid in the Mid-South, this is over the past 10 years. It has an average of 1,400 bales lost per year, and an average of 112,000 acres are treated per year for cotton aphid. And it also has a direct cost of about $1.91 per acre. But this doesn't really reflect a lot of the damage the cotton aphid can do. If you look back in the past, like 1991, I believe it was, cotton aphid was the number one pest of cotton in the United States. But also, there can be years that can cause a lot more damage than what this average shows. Some factors that can contribute to these high aphid densities, disruption of natural enemies, so broad-spectrum insecticide applications such as pyrethroid or organophosphate can wipe out your beneficials, which can cause your aphids to flare. Also, stress plants, low plant densities, high nitrogen fertilizer rates, and late planting dates can help the cotton aphid densities be high. So when we look at biological control, predators can play an important part in controlling aphid populations. Early in the season, many predators build their populations on aphids. Parasitoids play a very beneficial or a very important role in the regulation of aphid populations. Parasitism can reach 70% in some situations, and typically once parasitism reaches 10 to 20%, or you find mummies in 10 to 20% of your aphids, it's most likely that most of the aphids on a leaf are parasitized. The common epizootic Neozygaetes, it's a very important natural enemy of the cotton aphid. It's possibly the most important. It used to be quite common and used to be very predictable in when this cotton aphid would show up or when this fungus would show up. But recently, in more recent years, it's become less predictable when it'll show up. So when this, if you find approximately 15% of this fungus in your aphid populations, typically within the next few days, you're going to have a rapid decline. So when we look at the state's thresholds, these thresholds, they range from, some of them are kind of complex, and then some of them are pretty simple. Alabama has a threshold where it's just apply whenever leaves appear sticky, make an application, repeat if necessary. Arkansas's is a little more complex, where you look and see if the aphids are aphid populations are building and are present on approximately 50% of the leaves. From there, you look and see if you look and monitor your lady beetle populations, and from your lady beetle populations, you can determine whether you need to treat or not. They also want you to look for the aphid fungus to see if you need to treat. Louisiana, again, is just treat when honeydew, leaf crinkling, and sunning begun to occur uniformly. In Mississippi, they want you to do basically the same thing. Look when, if your aphid populations are increasing, and if there are no signs of disease. They also have other factors they want you to consider. Again, the possibility of a fungal epizootic, and consider the possible control failure from resistance in some insecticides. Check your predator and parasite populations. And if you need to apply control for another pest and you have aphids in the field, you want to use something that can also control the aphids possibly. Tennessee has a threshold for early season and mid to late season. Basically, you look, see if the plants are stressed and if the aphid numbers are growing. And just what differs in the late season is consider the possibility of a fungal epizootic before treating. But all states have a warning to see if you have resistance in your aphid populations before you pick an insecticide to treat with. So these are some foliar insecticide trials I'm about to show you. These are from this year. They were all conducted in the Delta region of Mississippi by Jeff Gore. So in this trial, we have our, on the y-axis, we have the number of aphids per five leaves, and on our x-axis, we have the products that were used in this trial. When you look at this, Transform and Intruder all provided quite excellent control of the cotton aphid at 2 days after treatment. Again, at 4 days after treatment, Transform and Intruder all were still providing pretty adequate control. But when we get out to 11 days after treatment, there are no differences in control between all the tested insecticides. But you look at carbine by itself and carbine plus an adjuvant. And carbine is actually, it's a pretty slow killing insecticide, so it has the lowest numbers, even though they're not significant. This trial has an experimental insecticide in it, and actually when we look at this, you can see that the experimental insecticide, when combined with the adjuvant, provided a lot better control than it come by itself or combined with any other insecticide at 3 days after treatment. And also Transform provided control similar to that of the experimental. At 5 days after treatment, our experimental was still providing pretty decent control, and the experimental was also providing control when combined with Orthene as the adjuvant, and Transform is providing similar control as the experimental compound. At 7 days after treatment, again, there was no significant differences, although our experimental compound and Transform were providing the best numerical control of our insecticides tested here. So in conclusion, you want to limit your insecticide applications early that will flare aphids, this primarily being pyrethroids and organophosphates. You want to rotate your chemistries when appropriate. Don't apply foliar neonicotinoids following a neonicotinoid seed treatment. That would be early in the season, so primarily the first 40 days after planting. And use accurate thresholds, pay attention to your beneficial insects in the that you have in the field for the possibility of them being able to control the aphids and save yourself an insecticide application. And with that, I'll take any questions.
Questions for Ben? All right. Thank you.
Thank you.